Nyree Hobbins is a dietitian specialising in ageing and brain health. Her latest book is called Brain Body Food. Nyree, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you, Hilary. It's a treat to be here.
Why shouldn't you diet when you reach a certain age? It's such an entrenched idea, isn't it, that if you've got a few extra kilos, you should?
I know it is. Look, it's about the fact that we're designed to grow into an adult. And as we're designed to grow into an adult, we build up muscle. It's an automatic background process. But once you become an adult, you're not designed to grow any bigger, or you'd be a giant by the time you're 60, of course. So that doesn't happen. You're designed to maintain. And not long ago, 70 was really old. The thing is that now we've got 20, 30 years beyond 70. What happens is if you lose weight by dieting, you lose a proportionally more muscle and less fat than a younger person would. And the issue with that is that muscle also does a whole lot of other things, like support your immune system, and then you can start to struggle.
This was a really interesting thing I took from your book. I had no idea there was a link between muscles and our immune system. How does that work?
Well, all the way through life, you know, there's this really clever system where we don't eat 24 hours a day, amazingly. Usually we try not to eat 24 hours a day. But you need protein 24 hours a day to do a whole lot of other things that you're not even aware of most of the time, to fight off any illness that you don't even know you might be getting. You know, in normal times when someone just coughs or sneezes, you might not get that cold while you're walking along the street, but you might not get that cold, but your immune system has run into action already to fight it off. You also could be fighting off all sorts of other things and maintaining your body. At the same time, you're using up protein to do things like renew body cells, always making new cells, always making new heart, kidney, lungs, skin, hair, whatever, cells, all the time. And any sort of repair work, scratch, graze, bruise, to anything much more dramatic. All those things are using protein all the time because of those times we're not eating, which, you know, includes overnight and any time you might not, you know, you might fast or you might just not feel hungry or whatever. During those times, your muscles provide the protein to keep the body going because it has to happen. And it's a really clever system. And when you're young, that doesn't matter at all, because if you've lost some protein out of your muscles, you've got all these drivers telling you grow, make that adult body, keep on going, you know, grow it into an adult size. So you quickly put the protein back into the muscles as soon as you eat again. But if you're older, those drivers to grow that body aren't there, and you may not put the protein back into your muscles. And the issue with that is 5 years, 10 years, even maybe 2 years down the track, depending on what you're facing. If an infection comes around that you need to fight, you may not be able to fight it as well as you could before. So it's a whole different system to a younger person. That's really amazing and frustrating that people don't know. That's why I spend my time talking about it.
Yes, and obviously why you've written a book. We can wave it at people going, look.
But exactly.
It has impacts on our brain too, doesn't it, Nyree? This was a little worrying to hear as well.
So your brain is a fabulous thing, of course, but it's only 2% of your body weight. That's not very much in a big adult structure, but that 2% of your body weight as a loser is using nearly a quarter of the energy that your body is using at any point in time. Even if you're just sitting doing nothing, it still has to run your heart and your lungs and all those things and all the body systems. So it's actually really active all the time. Now, it relies on a fuel called glucose, which you get from carbohydrate foods that you eat, sugars and starchy things, and you store a small amount in your body. That store, though, will only last you, if you don't eat or if you're eating very little, for possibly 2 days, maybe a bit more, depends on the person, but say a couple of days. When you run out of that store, your brain still needs all its energy. It's going to take precedent over any other part of the body, so it's going to take what it needs. Now, there's a really inconvenient physiological truth that you cannot make glucose out of body fat, because that would be great. While you're sitting listening to me right now, your brain could be using up some of your body fat. Be great. But that doesn't happen. So when you run out of the glucose supply from the food and from your reserves, you can make glucose out of protein. So what happens is the muscle gives up little bits of protein and that's converted into glucose and your brain keeps going. Now, most of the time, that's not a problem because, again, when you're young, as soon as you eat again, it's put back, it's all good. Your muscles are still there, your brain's still going, everything's great. But if you're instead older, and particularly people who are frail or who are not well and who are not eating, after 2.5 days or so, your brain is eating up your muscles to keep itself going. And if you don't actively renew that muscle or work hard to come back again, when you come out the other side of the illness or whatever thing you're struggling with, you can end up with less muscle and therefore less reserve to help all those things the protein needs to do, including brain fuel. So it's a really interesting process, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's really fascinating. So What does that mean for cognitive function? Are we talking something as serious as a more increased risk of dementia?
There is probably some sort of link, because if the body or the brain is under stress, if the brain is being stressed by not having the reserves it needs, there's an increase in this thing called chronic inflammation. And chronic inflammation is sort of like your body's revving a little bit higher than it should be. You don't feel it, but that's what's happening in the background, and it's using up reserves and resources, and it's making waste products and whatever, but you're not actually doing any more. That's sort of what chronic inflammation is. But basically, we know that chronic inflammation is one of the potential drivers of dementia and cognitive decline and a whole lot of other issues in the body. So what we want to do is damp down chronic inflammation, which means that we don't overly stress the system. And stressing the system by not having maybe quite the fuel reserves, or by a whole lot of other things like dehydration or eating ultra-processed foods and the like, then what you can do is end up with this level of chronic inflammation which causes you problems and in time may well contribute to cognitive decline. Okay. We don't know the answers, but, we know that there are things we can do, and the best you can do is pull in all the things you can do and help yourself.
The body is a complex organism. We're speaking Nairi Hobbins, who's a dietitian specialising in ageing and brain health. Her book's called Brain, Body, Food. Nairi, the take home here is you're saying you shouldn't diet to lose weight when you're over 65. But I found two examples that you listed in your book really interesting. So Ruth had been larger since having her kids and by her late 70s was mainly wheelchair bound. But you said it would be dangerous for her to try to lose weight. And then you give the example of Margaret, who's in a similar situation, but she has type 2 diabetes and she's a couple of years younger. And the recommendation was that she did try and lose a bit of weight. What should guide our thinking when it comes to that moment where it is better for our health to try and lose a couple of kilos?
The difference pivots again around your muscles. It pivots about around what you need to do to maintain muscle beyond 65, particularly all through your life, but beyond those that age limit. You need to do two things in particular. You must keep reminding your muscles you need it. And the way you do that is by doing stuff, doing activity, doing anything you do that fights gravity, getting up out of the chair without holding onto the arms, all sorts of things. Anything you do that fights gravity, any sort of physical activity you do, and particularly resistance exercise where you're pulling or pushing against a weight, you're lifting something, you're pushing through water, you're walking uphill. Those things remind the muscles they're needed. And then if there's any opportunity, they're going to pull the protein back in to keep themselves there so that when you need the reserve, it's there. The other thing you have to do is you must eat protein so that when that driver is there to pull the protein into the muscle, it's available for you. So those two things are really important. So when we look at those individuals in the book, you look at what their capacity is to do the exercise. So now if you've got someone rather like Ruth in the book, who was quite overweight but very physically unable to get around for a whole lot of reasons, and, that may have happened over a long time, but I go and see someone right there and then and decide what to do, help them decide what to do next. And in that situation, she's not able to do the resistance activity that's necessary to tell her muscles, to help her muscles to maintain. So if we put her on a diet, all that's going to happen is she's going to end up losing some muscle. It may, it may look good on the scales because she might have lost a few kilos or however many kilos people are hoping for. But unfortunately, a lot of those kilos will be muscle. And then 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe more down the track, when the next infection comes around or when, the flu comes around or whatever it happens to be, or a very nasty virus comes around, her chances of fighting off are less. And also, her quality of life is impacted in that case. It's a very different point. Now, when we look at the other lady, Margaret, wasn't it?
Yes.
when we look at Margaret, she was actually able to do activity and she had access to a physio and an exercise physiologist who could help her and guide her. And she actually got right into it and really began to enjoy it. Now, if you're doing that resistance activity and eating good protein, you might actually be able to lose some body fat without that loss of muscle. But it all pivots around if the end result is that someone has lost more muscle and less fat, it's actually not helpful.
And you need a team behind you too. That's a really key message, I think. Let's talk quickly. Yeah. We've got a couple of minutes left and I really like to look at what kinds of foods we should be putting in our plates to bulk up that protein after 65, because I think a lot of us grew up with the idea that the health message was the protein was a little bit on the edge and the rest of it should be fruit and veggies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fruit and veggies are fantastic because they're absolutely essential for the antioxidants that protect your cells. However, it pivots a little bit. When you're younger, you eat a great big pail of, you know, salad and fruit and vegetables and you put a few slivers of, you know, whatever protein you like, cheese or, you know, meat or fish or, you know, smoked salmon or tofu or whatever on the top. And that's plenty because you're able to eat quite a lot of food. You've got a good appetite and actually you've got all these drivers to build your muscles. But look on the other side, 65, 70 plus, not only do you need 20% more protein at 70 than you did at 50, which is an interesting fact in itself. Most people don't know. You need more protein than a younger person, but often the meal sizes have reduced. But the protein food on that plate has to stay the same size and everything else has to reduce, or in fact, the protein has to get a bit bigger. So we need to be thinking about, I always say, protein and colours, protein and colours. Put a protein food at the centre of every meal, and then surround that with as many colours as you can. But if you're actually taking away 2 points or three, protein, colours, good oil, then the colours can come from anywhere, and that includes the grain, the quinoa, the chia, whatever you might have on your plate, as well as, you know, nuts and seeds.
Nairi Hobbins, it's been a fascinating read and a fascinating chat. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Hilary. Thank
you. It's a pleasure. Nairi Hobbins, dietitian specialising in ageing and brain health. Her book's called Brain, Body, Food. And the take-home was, if you're in your 40s and 50s, now is the time to be more active and try and get to a healthy weight, I guess.